but still we get our view from the north. Now doing his thing again for the Oregonian, proving you can go home again. On Twitter, feel free to use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. So it's 2021. How's Team Fentress?
Team Fentress is cool, man. We're just tripping over the last few days, but, you know, we're hanging out, having fun in our own house, our own little bubble.
Yeah.
Where it's nice and safe.
Where it's safe.
Exactly.
So your Bulls were in town this week at Moda. Little bit of a coma the first quarter. Did some nice work down the stretch. They got Zach LaVine and that Jimmy Butler deal. And, man, you look at his last 3 years, the big shot in that game. How good of a player has he grown into?
Yeah, offensively, he's legit. Like, he's not a carrier franchise number one, to the contention kind of guy, but if he's a complimentary piece to another, to a really good player, I think he's a legit number two. Defensively, though, he still has a lot of maturing to do. He's too athletic to be so mediocre defensively. but I'm saying right now, that was a strange game to cover because I went into it thinking that, the Blazers were going to roll him. Like, I thought they'd come back from that road trip. They'd play the toughest stretch of games to start the season if anyone in the league. Played all these MVPs and All-Stars and playoff teams and defending champions, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, well, they're going to roll my Bulls. I was sitting there, and the Bulls are getting smoked. They're down 20, 47-27 in the second quarter. I start writing my game story. I'm like, I'm getting out of here early. And then they started coming back. And I was like, what's going on here? Kobe White was killing it. But here's the thing, for me personally, in personal note, I go to the Bulls game every year with my son, Peyton, and every year he wears his McCollum jersey. He loves McCollum. And every year he talks trash. Because the Bulls just get smacked around by the Blazers every time. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, hold on. It hit me like when it was 96-94 and the Bulls took the lead for the first time, like I think since early in the game, if they even led, I was like, oh, man, they're really trying to win this. And I thought, oh, crap, Peyton's not here. I can't return fire. I couldn't. By the time I got home, he was in bed. So I had to wait till the morning when he's sitting at the table. He's 14 now. He's sitting at the table eating his breakfast before he goes online school. And I just went up to him and went, eh.
You waited on it. You waited overnight.
I had to wait. I wanted to wake him up. I got home about 12:30. I was going to wake his butt up. I was like, nah, I'll let him sleep.
See, that's the difference. You don't drink. Somebody like me, I'd have woke my kid up. Oh, man. All right. I don't remember talking about it when it happened because it was late September. We were focused on the bubble and who knows what direction our lives were headed in. But what did you think about the Bulls, their new coach is Billy Donovan?
I liked it because they hired a legitimate, proven coach with a track record. I mean, he hasn't won a title. But, he won two national titles in Florida. He's been in the playoffs. He did a great job last year with that team. I mean, they were giving Paul, I mean, they took Chris Paul basically because they wanted to get rid of Westbrook. And they get Chris Paul, and he got that team to the playoffs. So he's the first legitimate coach with a proven track record they've ever hired since I can remember. I think Scott Skiles had some head coaching experience when they hired him, but Paxson and Gar Foreman kept hiring like these, taking these flyers on Vinny Del Negro. Now Thibodeau worked out. He's a good coach, but he was an assistant in Boston when they got him. So no, I was happy because they got someone who knows what they're doing, a professional coach to help teach these young guys. So they won 3 of 4 or 4 and 4. Now, for the Blazers, from their perspective, that was a bad loss. But they bounced back last night, but then again, they played against a team, one of the worst teams in the league. The T-Wolves didn't have their best player, Karl-Anthony Towns, wrist injury. They were 2-0 with him. They were 1-6 since he went down. And they're last in the NBA in both defensive and offensive ratings. So Blazers should have won. They better have won. So I can't give them too much credit for it, but at least they're back to 500.
talking with Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. Robert Covington, it's 9 games in or 8 games in, like you said. I thought it was a great move. He defends, blocks shots, and while he's never been confused with Steph Curry, he's really been way off. I mean, what's the buzz about his shooting struggles and maybe just a little difficulty fitting in with his new team?
Yeah, you know, when they signed him or traded for him, you know, I started doing a lot of, you know, research on him. And he's always been pretty kind of streaky. And I think he just started out this season on a bad streak and going through the process of a shortened training camp, shortened preseason, and learning a new team, learning new schemes and things like that. So I think at some point he's going to have one of those stretches where he shoots, you know, 50% from three over like 4 or 5 games or something, and it'll balance everything back out. But he's a career 35% shooter with his best year was 37.9, I think. So, you know, you don't just, I mean, that's the last thing you ever lose is your shooting ability. You can go get Reggie Miller. He can not shoot a basketball for 5 years, take him out to the hoop court, and he's going to smoke you.
Right.
I mean, that's just the thing they don't lose. So I don't think he's, you know, going to be shooting, you know, 25% or whatever it is right now, if it's even that, for the whole season. I just think it's just, this is his soft stretch. As a matter of fact, last year, he did not shoot very well with Houston, or he went from Minnesota to Houston. I can't, for one of the teams, he was shooting horribly, and the other one, he shot pretty well. I can't remember which it was now. So this is, I don't think this is unusual for him. I think I'll pick it up.
Now, something you wrote this week, first of all, the play on Glavin and Smoltz with Chicks dig the long ball, and you said, I like that. The Blazers dig the three ball. So based on, I know you do deep dives research-wise, based on the numbers and a lot more of these three-point launches, is it helping the offense be either more productive or efficient?
You know, it's crazy. You started talking about this, and at first I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I wrote that. Covering the NBA, I told you this, covering the NBA is so much busy work because they're playing every other day that sometimes you write something, and literally, like, I'll go back to the archives and look for one story, and I'll see, like, 3 or 4 headlines. I'm like, when the hell did I write that? Oh, yeah. Anyway, so digging back into my mental archives, yes. So they are committed to jacking up threes this year. And now last year, they took like 34 a game. And this year, going into last night, they were taking 42 a game, second most in the league. And their shooting percentage was right around 37, a little bit over 37 last year and this year. And so that's their goal. So what was interesting is in that fourth quarter against the Bulls, they shot 16 threes and they were 3 for 16. And one of the reasons why they lost was because when it was 100-100, the Bulls scored on like, couple shots of 14, 13, and 20 feet, whereas the Blazers missed like 5 straight threes in the last few minutes. So Dame finally hit one, but they were already down like 8 when he hit or 6 when he hit it or something like that. So it's just fascinating to see how a team that was committed to the three got burned by the other team getting better shots and making them. But, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, well, yeah, they shot horribly in the fourth quarter, but prior to that, they were just on fire. Like, seriously. They were like, oh, damn near 50% through three quarters from three. So then all of a sudden, things balance out. I mean, that's the scary thing about shooting threes. If you're red hot, it's not going to last. Because no one's going to spend the whole season shooting 50%. So you shoot 50% in a couple quarters, guess what? You're going to have that back quarter. And that's what happened to them. So I don't know. It's interesting to see them commit to this. We'll see how it works out. They definitely have good shooters. But if guys like Covington are struggling, it's going to hurt you.
Whoa, you still there?
Yeah. Did you lose me?
No, just for a sec. Just for a second.
Okay.
Yeah, you were talking about Covington, but I got you. You know, I know you don't cover the Duck men a lot, but, you know, you know who Peyton Pritchard is. You were at the Final Four with us, and he was a freshman. You know, he was a top gun in the conference last year. He just hit a buzzer beater. What about how this kid's playing as a rookie for the Celtics?
Yeah, he's doing a nice job, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, his junior, through his first 2 years, I didn't think he was an NBA guy. I thought second-round pick, maybe stick around for a couple years, who knows, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And then his junior, definitely, I was like, man, he's regressed. Like, remember I stressed in junior year, he was like, everyone was like, what's wrong with Peyton Pritchard?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, last part of junior year, he just started going bonkers, and ever since then, he's been a beast, right? So coming out of last season, I still wondered where he was going to go. You know, I still thought of him as a second-round guy, and then I started seeing his name float around in mock drafts late first round, and that's what happened. He went late first round. He went to a team that, you know, a guy definitely wanted him, didn't just take him to take him, who wanted him. And the thing about him is that for whatever he lacks from a, you know, elite athletic standpoint in the NBA, he makes up for with just efficient and high-end skills. Like, he's just a skilled guy. He can dribble his pants off. He can shoot it. Is he going to create a bunch of crazy shots? Probably not, but that's not going to be his role because he's a deft passer. He's going to be smart. He's going to get teams, you know, into the offense. He's going to make the right plays. And so, you know, the four-year guy, right, is almost like a four-year college guy. It's almost like a dinosaur,
right,
in the NBA, isn't it? Right? I mean, you don't come out after your at least your second year. You must be sorry because, you know, everyone else comes out after the first year who's really good, and they only did that because they had to go to college. They don't want to go to college. I still remember how crazy it was even when Tim Duncan stayed 4 years. I was like, what's wrong with you? That was, you know, 25 years ago. So it's like his breed is, you know, almost extinct. So to see someone like that play 4 years in college and just become a really polished player, right, to make up for not, you know, having the 40-inch vertical and running a 4.240 or whatever, it's fun to see. And I think he's going to have a really nice career because he clearly just gets it and understands the game at a high level. And is talented. He's talented and skilled.
You gotta love the fact that the guy who brought him there is a North Eugene Highlander, Danny Ainge.
Yeah, pretty exactly.
Cool. A couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian. We got the NFL playoffs start tomorrow. Seahawks, Rams. Aaron Donald flat said this is what they wanted. I'm looking at this game. I got it circled. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. How do you see this one playing out?
No, I haven't checked today. Is any new status on golf?
Nope. I actually just talked to this guy, Doc Holliday, who does a podcast with Isaac Bruce, and his thing is they know who's starting. They think it's going to be Goff, but they're not going to make a call until game time.
Okay. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, a coin toss game. Like, the Rams defense has been really, really good. Clearly, the Seahawks offense has been really up and down the last, 10 weeks now or something like that. So I definitely think it's going to be close. I mean, look what happened to the San Francisco game the other day. I thought they were going to lose that game. But I would say, you know, if it's close in the fourth quarter, who you got? Wilson or Goff? You know, someone's got to make a play. My money's on Wilson making that play, especially at home, even without the crowd. It's still home. So I'm going to say it's going to be a close game. Everyone's going to be nervous. He's a Seahawks fan, and then the fourth quarter, Wilson will do something to pull it out, and Goff just won't. He just isn't as good as Wilson. He's not going to make the play.
All right, and then on Sunday, Bears Saints with those two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Drew Brees and Mitch Trubisky. Chicago beat three straight non-playoff teams. Got beat by Green Bay, but still got in. What kind of shot you give them down in the Big Easy?
Did you watch that Packer game at all? Packer Green Bay game?
Not a lot of it. I mean, the thing was, I got like 18 games on at once, and once I saw it was out of hand, I watched closer games.
So, you know me for a long time. You know I'm a diehard Bears fan. I did the whole thing where I convinced myself they're going to win, even though the journalist in me is like, fool, please. But they were, they're down 21-16 with like 8 minutes to go or something like that. So they were fourth and one at like the 25 or something. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, they're in this to win this. Like, this could really happen. They go from that situation I just mentioned, and it seemed like I ran to the refrigerator to get, you know, a snack and came back, and it was 35-16.
Yeah,
they missed the fourth down play, and then Rodgers goes boom, 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 touchdown. They get the ball back. Trubisky throws a pick, and Rodgers goes boom, 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 touchdown. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But, I mean, I just expected that to happen in the first quarter, not the fourth. But they've been playing better, but no, I mean, they're not going to be able to handle the Saints. The Saints' defense is too good. You know, Trubisky is not going to be able to get it done. They don't have the weapons to get it done on the road like that. The Bears' defense hasn't been great. I mean, I think the whole mythology of the Bears' defense is dead now. It should be. Like, the defense has not been that great this year at all, especially against good teams. So no, I don't think they're gonna win. But that doesn't mean that Sunday I won't wake up, put up my Peyton jersey, and get ready like they're gonna. I'm gonna pretend I'm gonna live the dream, the fantasy, and then the next week if the Bears win, I'm gonna tell you, I told you so.
I'm gonna keep the tape. By the way, my upset special is Washington over Tampa. You heard it here first.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
A, I'm a little bonkers. Why? B, I just look at that Washington team with Del Rio and Rivera and Chase Young and that Settle guy in Sweat. They've got four pass rushers, and I'm just seeing some 07, 011 Giants just giving Brady trouble. I just got a gut feeling.
How do they score?
What?
How do they score?
No, it better be 17-14.
Okay, gotcha.
2017, 17-14. So just in case you think, well, you could either have me committed or be like, nice call, Steve. All right.
Hey, the number one way to beat an elite-level quarterback, especially one that's not mobile, is the what? Rush four and cover
yep.
the seven.
Nope,
they got
that's
the personnel.
From,
that's what the Giants did during the Super Bowl.
Yep, Justin right? Tuck and Strahan and Umanura and those guys and Robbins, just four. Cover with seven, limit the damage, get a Tyree catch with your head, and beat him. No problem.
No problem. Exactly. Yeah.
Folks, he's Aaron Fentress of the Oregonian on Twitter. It's at Aaron J. Fentress. Well, always appreciate your time, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football, and I'll catch up next week.
All right. Take care.
Take it easy.